Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
French efforts to extradite Ian Bailey for the murder of Sophie Toscan du Plantier reached the High Court in Dublin this afternoon. Earlier this year, a French court sentenced Bailey to 25 years in his absence, and a European arrest warrant was issued for him in June. Our legal affairs correspondent Orla O'Donnell now has more. Orla, Ian Bailey has been up and down the Irish judicial system for a number of years. Where does today's hearing fit into all of the other developments in this case that have taken place even this year?
Well, this is the third European arrest warrant for the extradition of Ian Bailey to France to come before the courts here. And it was first mentioned in the High Court a couple of weeks ago, but the court unusually directed that Mr. Bailey's lawyers should be given the opportunity to attend today. And I think it was to give Mr. Bailey's lawyers an opportunity to indicate if he wanted to oppose the endorsement of the warrant, which is just the first step in extradition proceedings. And it's a step, I think, that Ireland is one of the few jurisdictions which takes this step, Mr. Justice Donald Binchy said today. And Senior Counsel Robert Barron outlined what had happened in the previous two applications to extradite Ian Bailey. He said the High Court in 2017 had rejected the last attempt to extradite him, and Mr. Justice Tony Hunt in that case rejected the attempt as an abusive process, and he also refused an application from the state to make a reference to the Court of Justice of the European Union. And in making that decision, the judge cited reasons including the fact that there had been 5 years since the first attempt had failed, and also the fact that the Irish authorities had found comprehensively that there was no basis for charging Mr. Bailey, let alone trying him. The first attempt was rejected by the Supreme Court in 2012, and it found that Ireland could not extradite an English citizen to France for a crime that did not occur in France. Now, Mr. Barron said that might have been the end of it, but he pointed out that since the last attempt to extradite Mr. Bailey, he has been convicted in his absence in a French court, and there was also new legislation in this country, and he said that could have a bearing on the interpretation of the original Supreme Court ruling.
So what did the judge have to say in court today?
Well, Mr. Justice Donald Binchy said the process of a court, the Irish High Court, endorsing a European arrest warrant, he said this was a screening process, and it was really mainly to make sure that people were not dragged through the courts in circumstances where there was clearly no basis for a warrant being issued or where the warrant was clearly flawed. And he said his thinking at the moment was that an endorsement application was not a forum for a full hearing of the issues raised by the application, but he did describe the circumstances of this request as unique. So it is going to be mentioned again on December the 16th. Now, at that stage, it may be the case that Mr. Bailey has decided, or his lawyers have decided, that there is no point in challenging any attempt to endorse the warrant, and they will get on and have a full hearing about the issues at stake. Or there may be an application by Mr. Bailey's lawyers for the court not to endorse the warrant and to fight that particular battle.
All right, Orla, thank you very much. It's due for mention, as Orla says, in 2 weeks' time. Well, I'm joined by Ian Bailey's solicitor, Frank Buttermer. Both of them were in court today. Frank Buttermer, what is Ian Bailey's position now on this warrant? Will you challenge the endorsement, or where do you go from here?
Well, his position, Mary, is that he has expected to be, pursued. As you and I had spoken about the last time some number of months ago. In fact, he seems to be surprised that it took so long for this to come through. Incidentally, it seems that this application, the warrant was created already nearly 6 months ago, and it's taken yet another 6 months of somebody's life to come along and bring it up to the High Court. So even that alone is another, unbelievable stretch of time. Bearing in mind, by the way, that the tragic event which has caused all this is now 23 years old this December. His position is, as it always has been, he protests his innocence. He will resist the attempt to extradite him as vigorously as he can within the law, having respect as he does to the Irish legal and judicial system. And he has been vindicated thus far by the refusal of the two courts to extradite him. We were in this novel situation very early when we were coming up to the court, not knowing specifically what it was that was required of us. The judge very courteously said today to us that he had come across no case of its kind previously, or that there are these unique circumstances to this case. So in a sense, we went up to learn the reason why we were being invited to go up. Mr. Bailey attended, as I say, as an absolute courtesy to the court. We were then told, in effect, why we were there, which is that the judge, in many ways on the urging of the state, has had this concern about the step which is being signing of the warrant, which gives effect to the arrest. So even at the very preliminary level of signing a warrant at this stage, the court's concern is it valid and appropriate to do that, or is it such that this ought not to be done, or what legal arguments can one raise in relation to this act, which in itself is nonetheless a significant act, because it is the act which allows the state, again, to deprive Mr. Bailey of his liberty by placing him on bail. Therefore, you know, having learned the purpose of our visit today, we now must evaluate what, you know, the response is going to be, which will be an either-or response in the end of the day for us, but equally the state has to determine its position. Our response will be either we will, if you like, not oppose the formal act of the signing of the warrant,
yeah,
or we will. And, I mean, you know, we are in absolutely uncharted territory in relation to this extraordinary case at this stage, where, you know, round three now kicks
Just let me ask you this. Which route is in the best interests of Ian Bailey?
Well, the route that Ian Bailey will have to pursue is the route that, you know, is the, if you like, to rely upon the court to, if you like, do justice to him. The routes are to be discussed, quite frankly. I mean, I couldn't conceivably discuss them on the radio because we just got this information at 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you like, yeah, a roadmap has laid out where you've got two forks in the road.
But if you don't challenge the endorsement of the warrant, and if, yes, and I'm asking you a series of questions here, starting with if, and if the High Court endorses the warrant, is he then arrested by Gardaí in preparation for extradition?
Yes, he's arrested once again, having been arrested twice previously. Now, I would say, first he was arrested in dreadfully bad circumstances the first time in April of 2010, and that ultimately was a procedure that went through the Supreme Court, and he won the argument. He was more courteously treated, I have to say, in 2015 in the second attempt, or 16, I can't really remember at the stage. This time also, I think it wouldn't be an arrest by being put into shackles and manacles and so on, as he was the first time. I think on this occasion, he's more invited to attend, like an elder.
An arrest by appointment. But would he be then immediately brought to an aircraft for transportation to France, or would you still have recourse to courts?
We'll have recourse to the argument that now clearly would arise as to the lawfulness of what's being sought by the French. And, you know, since it is a completely unprecedented state of affairs, the argument will be, a very, very serious argument. Like, at the end of the day, I've said, Mary, in recent times, this is no longer about Ian Bailey in the strict sense. This is really actually about mutual disrespect, if you like. The French are treating our system of justice with such incredible disrespect that it's just, like, beyond belief to me, but look, I'm sure I keep on saying it. The other concern that sort of we have as a nation is, like, what obligation does the Minister for Justice ultimately have to ensure that, you know, whatever about our international obligations. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure.
So do you think this is a political story now? Do you think this is a political story rather than a legal story?
I absolutely do, in the sense that I wonder what the origin was, for example, of the relatively interesting amendment to the law which was passed in 2019. I wonder if that is to do with Mr. Ian Bailey.
What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that you might ask that of the minister. That law was passed by the government.
Are you suggesting it was passed at the request of the French authorities?
Well, you will have to ask that question of somebody who's more knowledgeable than I. But I'd have a serious...
That's the implication of what you're saying, isn't it?
This piece of legislation is passed in 2019, the same year as Mr. Bailey is in a farcical trial, found guilty after 3 days of non-evidence in France. The legislation is passed, and here they are back again.
We leave it there for this evening. Frank Buttermer, thank you very much for joining us. It's